The scripture reading is from Luke 24. We start to read at verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45 to the end of the chapter, verse 53. There we read God's holy word. Then opened the Lord Jesus the understanding of the disciples, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. The text for the sermon is verse 51, where we read, And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Beloved congregation, the disciples were eyewitnesses of the ascension of Christ. The disciples did not see him literally rise up from the grave. But the Lord Jesus did reveal himself after his resurrection, so that the disciples themselves could draw the conclusion that the Lord Jesus had truly risen from the grave. But the disciples did see how he was taken up into heaven. There can be no doubt about that. He is no longer here on earth. And where is the Lord Jesus then? He is in heaven, at the right hand of God. In our text words, we see that the Lord Jesus was saying farewell to his disciples. He was reassuring them that he would be with them all the days of the world until the end. And so the disciples knew that the Lord Jesus had been crucified, that he arose from the grave, that he is now ascended into heaven. It appeared as if he was leaving them, but he would remain with them with his strength, his love in their heart, and with his grace. And we see that this evening in the text of Luke 24, verse 51, the words, And it came to pass when he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So we see here the ascension of Christ. We see his blessing, his being taken up, and his heaven. So the ascension of Christ, we see his blessing, being taken up, and heaven. So it was probably early in the morning, before other people were present, that the Lord Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Olives. And that was the place where the Lord Jesus had suffered terribly in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was a place where he had wrestled to be obedient to his Father, even in the depths of his suffering. He wanted to be faithful, to be able to redeem his people. The Mount of Olives was a place where the Lord Jesus had wept over Jerusalem that did not receive him. And it was from this same place that he would ascend into heaven. This also had been foretold by the prophets, for we read in Zechariah 14, verse 4, that his feet would stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. It's also significant that we find here the name of the town of Bethany mentioned in verse 50. That has significance. Scripture could have revealed that the Lord took his disciples to the Mount of Olives, and from there he ascended into heaven. But we read here expressly that is, he took his disciples to be at Bethany. And what does that mean? Why is that recorded? Bethany being the place on the Mount of Olives where the Lord Jesus would ascend into heaven. Well, Bethany, what does that mean? That means the base of the Ani. And the Ani in Hebrew are the poor, the miserable. So Beth, that's house, Bethlehem, house of bread. So Bethany means house of the poor, house of those who are in misery. It was here in Bethany that the Lord Jesus had often spent the night with his friends, where he had raised up Lazarus from the dead. But the fact here that Bethany means house of misery, that's very important. That's significant. It's from the house of misery, the place of misery, that the Lord Jesus is going to ascend into heaven. House of misery, or house of the poor. It's about a half an hour's walk from Jerusalem. And it's typical that from this place the Lord Jesus ascends. Because isn't that reality, often in the lives of his people, that their lives can be characterized by affliction, by struggle, at times even misery. There are tears, there is sorrow, we have our disappointments, graves are being dug, and there are struggles against our own flesh. These struggles can be heavy, and these afflictions and these struggles can lead us to feel miserable. And the apostles already would say in Acts that through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of heaven. From poverty, they will enter into riches. Also from spiritual poverty, they will enter into glorious riches. From struggles, they will enter into the rest. And from tears, they will enter into the place of joy. From suffering, they will enter the place of perfect salvation. From their Bethany, they will enter into glory. The Lord Jesus himself went through suffering. And now he may ascend to his Father in heaven. It's through tribulation that the Lord Jesus would ascend, and also God's children. But the tears will be wiped away, and there will be victory through the Lord Jesus. And the old man within will die, and the new man formed after the Lord Jesus Christ will live fully. And in this life here on earth, the Lord Jesus is still with us. When you have your hope upon him, he is with you, with his strength, his grace, his comfort, his love, his care, his blessing, his nearness. But the fact is that it's not heaven here. We're still in the place of struggle, and you can experience your poverty and your hardships and your misery. But from this place, the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. And so his people will also ascend into heaven from this same place, from there, Bethany. Now it's important to take note of the last thing the Lord Jesus did before he ascended into heaven. And you know what that was. The Lord Jesus blessed them. He led his disciples out. Then he lifted up his hands like the high priest in the temple would do. After he had made reconciliation, he would bless the people. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest of the church, after he has made reconciliation by one offering once and for all, he now lifts up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he was lifted up. He was lifted up. And the disciples watched him. The Lord Jesus blessed them. Just like Jacob had once blessed his 12 sons. And now these disciples were going to be the foundation of the New Testament church, the representatives of the new Israel. And they needed his blessing. We can think of Moses, who also blessed the 12 tribes of Israel before he departed. And now the Lord Jesus is blessing his disciples. He had chosen 12 disciples. He is now blessing his disciples. And this is all evidence of the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his disciples to the end. He loved them continually. He had always cared for them. He knew his disciples even before they were born. He knew them even before the foundation of the earth. And he found them during their lives. And he drew them to himself. And he instructed them in the way of salvation. He poured out his love and his understanding upon them. And his spirit was laid upon them. And now he blessed them. And this blessing is not only applicable to the disciples, but this blessing is applicable to his church. Because the Lord Jesus also knew his church from eternity, from before the foundation of the world. And when you may know of his presence in your life, then you may know that God has known you from eternity. And he drew you, did he not? And did he not reveal his love to you? And that by love he has carried you? And he has drawn you unto himself? And he revealed himself to you, that he did not come to you in anger or in vengeance, but he came to you with patience and care and loving kindness. And all the difficulties you still go through, they are allotted to you by his wisdom, because he knows what his people need. Also days of tribulation, so that they would be purged, that they would be driven more to rest upon the Lord Jesus alone. And he will lead you further, because he loved you, child of God, before your birth, and he will lead you until death. And moved by his love, he confers from heaven his blessing also upon you. Just as the Lord Jesus, he blessed his disciples. Also the fact that the last thing the Lord Jesus did was blessing. That means something to us. The last thing the church saw of the risen and ascending Christ was his blessing. And that blessing was intended to encourage them. Don't be afraid, I will be with you. whatever you go through. I will grant wisdom, strength, and love. He is and remains to be the good shepherd. And he comes with his care, his continual care. He is moved with compassion, with the struggles and the hardships and then the necessities of his people. Moved by love, he had gathered his scattered sheep together right after his resurrection. And now the Lord Jesus is conferring his blessing upon his church. He lifted up his hands, and those hands were pierced hands. Yes, that's why the Lord Jesus has the authority to bless, because he paid for the sins. And that's how he may now say farewell to his church. And therein lies the promise confirmed in his blessing with those pierced hands. In spite of your iniquity, in spite of your failures, remember, I will be with you all the days to the end of the world, that he would never leave nor forsake his people, that he always lives night and day to pray for them, and that he is now seated at the right hand of God, having all power, and he is faithful. And what does this blessing of the Lord mean? What does it entail? Does it mean that everything will go nice in life as we would like it to be? No. Because it may not be good for us if everything goes as we would like it to go. It means that he will be with his people, leading them through this life to heavenly Jerusalem. And sometimes the Lord calls them to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In a little while, the disciples will be beaten, whipped, and some of them are going to be stoned to death, and others of them will be crucified. They will all actually undergo a violent death, except for John. Yes, they will suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus. And still they have faith that he is with them. And he was with them. He had comforted them with the words that they should be exceeding joyful even when they suffer for his name's sake, because their reward is great in heaven. He blesses them. What does it mean? His care, his love, but it means also that he will not remember their sins. And he will be merciful to them. So that even in the difficultest days, most difficult days, they can rejoice in the Lord. Those blessing hands show that God is for his people. And now it's so necessary that we would be under these blessing hands. Are you living underneath his blessing? Are these hands for you, or are they against you? That's also possible. When you refuse to live for him, and you rather live for yourself, then you do not love him, but you selfishly love yourself. You desire your own pleasure and your own ease. You have no sorrow for sin, and struggle against sin is not really important to you. And the question, how shall the Lord Jesus be glorified in my life, is not really an issue for you. And that all shows that you do not belong to him. The people in the world think you are a Christian. But does the Lord Jesus think that? Are you maybe still a stranger to him while you know many things about him? Well, then you do not belong to him. And that's the misery and the poverty. That's the Bethany of your life. But you don't realize it. You don't see it. Your eyes are blind to it. Ask yourself the question, who will pay for your sins? Who will lead you through death? You hope the Lord will do it, but on what is your hope based? Upon some vague love of God? While in the meantime you live basically without him, you do not seek his communion. How can you say or hope to be under his blessing? Without his blessing, God is against you. And instead of ascending into heaven, if you keep on living like this, yours will be a descent into outer darkness. How necessary that we would be under his blessing hands. And how necessary that we would call upon the name of the Lord who is now in heaven. And that we would truly repent and be saved. And that his blessing would rest upon us. And when you do desire to know the Lord Jesus, and you do desire to know him more and more, and when you do have grief that you do not love him as you should, and when you do try to seek communion with him alone, with him and his word, remember that his blessing hands are above you. Although you are often disappointed in yourself, he is never disappointed. Because he knows everything about you. Meditate upon his power to save you to the uttermost. Meditate upon his strength that you may call upon in various difficulties of life, even of daily life. You may call upon the name of the Lord and remember his blessing is valid. And be very humble and realize it's a miracle of grace that his blessing rests upon you. Yes, be very small under such goodness and faithfulness. Because the more you think about this, the greater the miracle will be to you that he thinks about me, and either that I am never alone. But then we also see his being taken up. Because he was taken up into heaven, and what a joy this must have been for the Lord Jesus. He had come from heaven. He knew about the glory of his Father's presence. He knew about the beautiful singing of the angels. He knew that place of peace and rest and joy and goodness. He came from that perfect place and he descended into the misery of this world. He descended from the wealth of heaven into the poverty of this world. And now the Lord Jesus may return to this glorious place. We don't have to be uncertain where the Lord Jesus went to. He went to heaven. And it's from heaven that he would appear to Stephen while Stephen was being stoned. And it's from heaven that he would appear to Saul of Tarsus to lead him to repentance. And it's from heaven that the Lord Jesus would pour out His Holy Spirit 10 days after this. Christ returned to be in the immediate presence of God, to be there the intercessor, just as the high priest would go into the temple, into the holy part, and there pray and intercede for the people. So the Lord Jesus, our high priest, has gone into the heavenly sanctuary to pray. And there in heaven, He is not just waiting. He is not just doing nothing. Certainly not. He is working. He is preparing a place for all His people. He's mentioning your name before God when you flee to Him. He prays for all who come to God through Him. And that explains how it's possible that God's children go through difficulties and afflictions and even persecutions, and that their faith even becomes stronger. How is that possible? It's not because of them. It's because of the prayer of the Lord Jesus that invokes strength and grace and mercy and love in their hearts. He supports them. And in a little while, He will return from heaven. He is now making the final preparations in heaven for His return. And then every eye shall see Him. Then this world will stop. It will come to its end. This world that is getting worn out. This world that is getting tired of bearing the sins of mankind. And then all those who trampled upon God's commandments, they will see Him. And they will receive their punishment. And then Christ will say to many who were covenant children, but who forsook Him, the Lord will say, I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chickens, but you did not want Me. Therefore you will remain in your sin, and you must go to the place where I am not present. And so we read in our text, and it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. It's quite noteworthy how it's recorded. He departed. But it says there in the passive tense, He was parted from them. He was carried up into heaven. It says that on purpose. Because how was it possible the Lord Jesus could leave His disciples behind? He loved them. He knew it would be better for them to be taken up, but He loved them. And now the Lord Jesus was taken up, was carried up. How could He leave them? But the Lord God the Father took Him back into heaven. And so He could leave His disciples. God the Father accepted His work of reconciliation. The Lord Jesus was taken up, and now He is crowned to be the mediator between heaven and earth. From heaven He would gather His church and protect His church. And therefore He is the mediator between heaven and earth. He was taken up. He was carried up. That's what He deserved to receive. He didn't have to be taken up in a fiery chariot. He didn't have to be purified No, he could ascend in his own strength. He had liberty to ascend. He knew the way. And he could ascend to his Father. He was taken up. But he also did this in his own strength as well, because he ascended into heaven. But God the Father welcomed his Son back into heaven. The Lord Jesus did not have to break into heaven. He did not have to take the kingdom of heaven with violence. He has every authority, every right to enter heaven. We sing, "Who can ascend the holy hill of the Lord?" Well, only those who are pure of hand and heart, who are clean of lips. And that's how the Lord Jesus was. He was pure. Pure. He had no sin. And that's why he could enter heaven. And what a great miracle. Because the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, but he ascends as man. A human being is in heaven. And he ascends as the head of his church, the head of his people. He is there already. And that's the guarantee, the earnest, the catechism says, that his people will also one day be there with him. God the Father will take all God's people up into heaven where Christ is. And that's all because of the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, man will be restored in glorious communion with God. And now it's still the case here on earth that his people thirst after the living God. Now you still suffer in spiritual poverty. Now you experience misery because of the consequences of sin. But the Lord Jesus went ahead to that place. And what you are going through is still for a little while, but it will not be long until you who hope upon the Lord will also be taken there. And we have no understanding how good and how glorious and how blessed and how perfect heaven will be. No more tears. No more crying, no more misery, no more poverty. There God's children will leap for joy. There they will be filled with his gladness. And they will be forever in perfect communion with God. There'll be no more affliction, no more sin. They will forever rejoice in the glory of God. That was his taken up. But then we also refer to heaven, his heaven. The Lord Jesus is King, and he was taken up into his heaven. For from this heaven he will support and encourage his people. Heaven, it is the inexhaustible treasure house of God's people. And here on earth they will receive gifts from that treasure house, conferred upon them by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are being continually supplied. They receive grace for grace from heaven because the Lord Jesus is there. What a great miracle that man who first turned away from God and had been cast out of paradise, that he may still return to be in immediate presence of God. That's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. By our fall in Adam, we had excluded ourselves, and daily our guilt increases. We made ourselves unworthy to enter heaven. We can only come there when all unrighteousness in us is removed. We need to be pure to enter heaven, and we are not pure. Even on our deathbed, we are not pure of hand and heart. But what happens? the Lord Jesus imputes his purity upon his people, so that in the sight of God they are pure. And then a person who was a sinner can still be considered to be pure and clean, and he is allowed to enter heaven. Who may live in heaven? Those who are included in Christ. Those who rest upon his full payment coming from Christ. And therefore it's necessary to know him personally in your heart and soul. The issue here is true faith. And true faith lets go of itself, confesses its guilt and its sin, and longs for Christ to fill their lives. Faith is not some reasoning, but faith sinks down upon the perfect work of the Lord Jesus, and so your life must be laid down at his feet. Because those people who now long for Christ and who have learned to love him, they will be forever with him. The Lord already now ministers to them from his threefold office. They need him as their king to govern them through life. They need him as priest to atone for their sins, to bless them and to pray for them. And as a prophet, they need the Lord Jesus to instruct them in the way they must go. Is this how you live? Is this your desire, your reality? That you cannot live without Christ? That is how the disciples were. And so the Lord Jesus departed from them. And they knew very well that without the Lord Jesus they could do nothing. But they knew also that his blessing rested upon them, that gave them so much comfort, so much joy, that after the Lord Jesus had been taken up into heaven, they returned in the temple with great joy. They were not sad. They were in joy. Because they knew he was there for their good. And they knew he would watch over them. And they knew they could do nothing without the Lord. So they were continually praying. They were praising and praying. And waiting and expecting the outpouring of God's Spirit. And so you may also pray that. You may pray for the outpouring of God's Spirit upon your life and heart. The Lord Jesus earned the life-giving Spirit also for you. And this Spirit will lead you into all truth. And then Christ will become your life. And then the power of Christ's love will be in you. And then the Lord Jesus will become your life. And that all happens through his Spirit that he pours out. And then where the Lord Jesus is, that's your home. In a short while, you will be there. That will be so glorious to be eternally with him, with the one whom you learned to love upon earth. He came to you. He redeemed you. He taught you to love him. You learn to confess in this life, he is my beloved. And he is altogether lovely. He leads me. He governs me. My hope is upon him. And that's why I also may rejoice in him. Although at times things may be difficult. And there are burdens. And there is a cross. And there are hardships, and yet I rejoice in him, in his future, in his blessing, in his faithfulness. And that I may later on be eternally with him you may look forward to that God's people. A child of God may look forward to the joy that is set before you in heaven. It's not sinful to meditate upon heaven and to long for the God of heaven and imagine how glorious it will be. Sometimes you can have a foretaste of the glories of heaven when the Lord is close to you and when you experience His nearness. Something like Moses had upon Mount Nebo when he looked over the promised land. Sometimes God's children can have a taste of that blessed future. It's like John Bunyan so beautifully described in Pilgrim's Progress, that Christian was led upon the Delectable Mountains. And there they could smell the scent of heavenly Jerusalem. And they saw the city in the distance. And so the scent of Christ may wave upon you, filling your life. What a glorious perspective. And that's why we may sing, When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, then I shall be satisfied. Amen. Shall we give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name? O ever-blessed Lord, we thank Thee for the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou art an ever-present help in time of need, and that Thou art the God who does look down upon Thy people, who does look down upon poor sinners who long for Thee, who turn unto Thee and call upon Thy name. We thank Thee, Lord, that we may still be in the time of grace. And we know that that time will run out and that the time of grace will cease for all of us, either that we are taken away or that Thou dost return. O, cause us to make use of this time of grace. Lead us to repentance. Lead us in a life of looking unto Jesus as Thou art now enthroned in glory, ready to help and to deliver and to save to the uttermost. Lord, wilt Thou take each one of us under Thy care? Wilt Thou be with us this week? Also Saturday afternoon when the picnic gathering may take place, and coming Lord's Day when again we may be under the proclamation of Thy word. Wilt Thou go with us and keep and spare us? Remember us in grace, blot out our sins, extend Thy church, and hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.